Amen.
Amen.
So at the beginning of the gospel reading this morning, we heard the words, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus is determined to do God's will wherever it leads. And it's important to remember that during his ministry here on earth, Jesus was often rejected. In Jesus, we have a model of how we deal with rejection. It was not just the Jewish people who were rejecting him, but the Samaritans as well. We heard in our gospel the people there did not welcome him. When the Jewish nation was divided about 900 years before Christ, Samaria was the name for the capital of a northern kingdom, and Samaritans intermarried with other people in the region. Traditionally, Jews and Samaritans were very hostile to each other. Jesus' effort to reach out to them was culturally exceptional, but they rejected him. Our world today is often not responsive to the message of God's saving grace through Jesus. The disciples react with hostility to the way the Samaritans did not welcome Jesus, and they wanted to call down fire from heaven upon them. We don't know exactly what Jesus said to them, but he rebukes them and they move on to the next village. It appears from this that God is giving people time to make a decision to come to him. The disciples' calling was to preach the word of salvation, and if they were not well received, to move on. We do learn, however, that the disciples actually returned to this place, with this region later on, with some success. God is patient and he wants us all to come to repentance. His judgment is withheld so that more may have time to come to him. In the passage we heard read from Galatians, we are urged to allow the Holy Spirit to direct the way our lives are led. So, who do we think we are? Where do our priorities lie? What motivates us in our daily life? From where do we find the strength and to energize us in the way that we live? Tom Wright says, so what is Christian freedom? It doesn't mean that now you believe you can do what you like. Life is a battlefield, with flesh and spirit opposing one another, and you can never be totally off guard. What matters, though, is that your identity is that of a true child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. End of the quote. To do this, we need to be free from what binds us to the battlefields of our lives. And we have in Galatians 5 that list of acts of the sinful nature, which is pretty scary when you hear it read. And here Paul is warning us sternly that if our lives are act of a sinful nature, then we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul has written in this way because of the tensions within the church at that time. In the first verses, Paul is calling on the members of the church to be free, but not to misuse that freedom. There were differences in opinion, different ways of doing things, which not everyone agreed with. But Paul is urging the Galatians to serve one another in love. Mm-hmm. Verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Pretty hard words from Galatians. And they're challenging for members of our church locally and throughout the world. Tom Wright puts it this way. Often today, when people emphasize the need for love, patience, gentleness, and the like, this goes with an attitude to truth and the gospel, which says that we shouldn't stress the things we disagree on. Equally, when people are passionate for the truth of the gospel, as Paul was, they often allow that zeal to betray them into a kind of anger and even malice that are listed under the works of the flesh. Often the blend of truth and love, which Paul so often urged, seems elusive in church life. Paul's own answer to the problem would be short and clear. We need to learn to line up more effectively with the Spirit. disciple of Jesus is very costly. We are facing rejection. It is important to understand we need a focused commitment to be a disciple when we're in that situation. And the verses from the end of our gospel reading help us to understand what following Jesus requires. The verb follow appears three times, and each example is different. I wonder if we can identify with any of the examples given. In the first example, a man agrees to follow Jesus wherever he goes. Will we go anywhere that Jesus goes? To do this is very demanding. And Jesus' reply to the committed followers is, animals, the foxes, the birds have places to go, but the Son of Man has nowhere to go. For us to be a follower of Jesus means that we need determination and resolve. Because as a follower of Jesus, we will face rejection in all kinds of ways. It's not an easy path to walk, and we need to continually trust God in the midst of being rejected by people around us. In the second example, Jesus makes the call to a man to follow him, but the man has excuses. The man wishes to bury his father before he follows Jesus. It's possible that his father was not dead yet, as burial usually took place immediately a person had died. So the man was saying, I'm wishing to follow Jesus, but not yet. He wanted to wait until he had finished what he considered was his top priority. Jesus presents a difficult choice that following him is even more important than burying a member of our family. Important though that may be, being a disciple comes first. There should be no excuses getting in the way of being a disciple. In the third example, the man says he wants to follow Jesus, but he has a priority before he does that. The man wants to say goodbye to his family. The way that this is portrayed is the man wants to hang back onto his old life. We should not use excuses to turn back from the task of being a disciple. As disciples, our responsibility is to stay at the plow. I mean, today when people plow land, it's done with a tractor and a machine, but in days past it was done by hand, pushing a plow along. And if you're trying to do a straight furrow and then you look back, you're pushing it along, then you look back to see what's happened, you go off course. And even what you see as a straight line behind you, you'll have gone off course because you turned back. Or think of another picture. If you're singing a song, and I know we've got lots of good people singing songs here, it's no good wondering whether you sang the previous line all right. You've got to concentrate on the next line so that you sing that correctly. And if you're on a journey, the map you need is the one which tells you where to go next, not the one you've just travelled on. So I have found what Luke and Paul are saying to us here this morning very challenging. If we confess that Jesus Christ is our risen Lord and we allow his Spirit to work in our lives, then we are free to follow God's way, free to love our neighbour, and we are free to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our daily life. There is a cost involved, but when we read the words from Galatians, it is worth it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And 3 weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost, God sending the Holy Spirit into our world. And a couple of weeks ago, Peter and I were up in Saddleworth for the Whit Friday walks, where they walk around the village, and there was probably 1,000 people walking around the village, and they stop at various places singing hymns and hearing God's word spoken. And they have a band concert as well, which is rather fun afterwards. But it's remembering that God sent his Holy Spirit into our world. So let us pray that the fruits of the Spirit will become more apparent in our own lives, that we will live our lives by the Spirit, and that we will keep in step with the Spirit. It's a huge challenge for all of us as we seek to journey on as disciples of Jesus. So Lord, I just pray now that we would hear you speaking to us, how you want us to be your disciples, Father. May we keep our hearts and minds open to the way you're leading us, that your will may be done and thy kingdom come. For we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.